right, amen. Well, good morning again, everybody. Welcome to week two in our You Asked For It series. Glad to have you along for the ride here this morning. And man, I want to encourage you, if you missed last week, the message on stress, hopefully that was helpful, make sure you check it out. And we just got some reports back that people are sleeping better this past week. Yeah, man, that's something we prayed for. And so if you weren't here for us, I encourage you, make sure you get the message so you know part of what I'm talking about. And so I just think it's great that people are resting a little bit better this past week. Praise God for that. Amen. Before I get into the message here this morning, I actually just wanted to share something to you from my heart. And I think it's important that you as a church knows just sometimes the different levels of impact that you're having. And you may not even know about it. And so I thought I wanted to share I think it's just a cool testimony of what God is doing in your life, what God is doing here. I had the honor this past week of meeting with a lot of different pastors and leaders in our city. I think it's always great, man, when we come together in one place. And there's something powerful about that. And so we did that on the Wednesday. Some of the staff joined me with that. But then I connected with a few others on Friday as well. You know, we're just real serious. And I'm very thankful for just other great churches in our city. We are really, Fort Wayne is blessed to have some just wonderful pastors. And we just thank God for the churches in our city. And it was just such an honor this past week to spend time with some of these guys. And I want to report something back to you from many of them. And I just want to encourage you with this because I was extremely humbled by this, but met with several of them. And I just want you to know, Elevate City, that you guys are of a good report. I had many of some of those leaders and pastors just thank us for the impact that you guys are having on your community right here in Fort Wayne. Many of them are well aware of just small groups and outreach and different things that we're doing, but I'm thankful for that. And so, and the result of that is health. Everybody say health. And one of the things I pray so much over you, over this church, is that we would remain a healthy church, and because whatever's healthy grows. And so I'm just real proud of you guys. I want you to know that. Here's what I know, though. We're not a great church. We serve a great God. And I just want you to know, you guys are making an impact, and you're touching not only lives through our city, but you're really touching the lives of other leaders and pastors. And so I just want to thank you guys for your heart for God and your heart for people and for making a difference. Thank you. All right, everybody, can we give God just a hand for that? Isn't that awesome, everybody? Just thank you guys so much. You're touching people. And so we love you so very much. Hey, if you haven't grabbed your message notes, let's get right into what you wanted to hear about. It's our second week in our You Asked For It series. And I will tell you that this was actually tied for third on the list. And so it was tied with last week's. And so I'm going to get into the couple top things that you wanted to hear about over the next couple of weeks. It's going to be good. But today's topic, if you haven't already figured it out, is on forgiveness, something that you wanted to hear about. And I think this may be one of the most important topics that maybe we do in this series, because I also realize it can be one of the toughest things for us to deal with. I believe it's a daily thing that you and I make a choice about, because we, at different levels and different places, I think we can be impacted with situations that call for a really just a choice and a decision of forgiveness. And so for some of us here today, we may be in a place that you're thinking, man, how do I get rid of this bitterness? Man, how do I let go of the disappointment? How do I let go of the unforgiveness that is in my heart and in my life? And because I think that all of us have dealt with it and maybe are dealing with it. And it has the ability, and I believe it's one of the tools of the enemy, one of the playgrounds that he loves to try to get people on, especially God's people, to get into a place of just unforgiveness, because I really do believe it has the ability to hold us back from the future and the destiny that God has called us to. But how many know God has so much more in front of us that we don't have time to stay where we're at? We got to keep moving forward, and we got to keep letting God be God in our life, even in the tough situations where it doesn't always feel good, but we got to allow God to continue to be God in our life. Colossians chapter 3, read this verse to you as we start out here this morning. Verse 13, it says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive. Everybody shout, forgive. Yeah. Forgive anyone who offends you. Make allowance, meaning this. In other words, people are going to trip. People are going to mess up. There's all kinds of people with issues. And guess what? A part of that is understanding you and I along the way are going to get hurt. It's a reality. The Bible says on this side, in this world, we're going to have some trouble, and it can look different, but here's what I know. You and I will always have an opportunity at some point in the journey to have to forgive somebody. And the choice is then going to be, what are you going to do with it? How's that going to look, and what that is going to feel like? So before I actually get into your message notes this morning, I was really praying about this, and because this is a topic that is near and dear to God. And I wanted to make sure before we got into anything this morning that I share what I think is a few important truths with you to understand about what forgiveness is and really what forgiveness is not. And before we begin to kind of allow the Holy Spirit to kind of deal with things of wherever we may be at, I think it's so important, I think it's vital that we have a right view of what forgiveness is and what it's not. And so the team's gonna help me this morning so you can jot a few of these down. Again, these are not in your notes, so if you wanna find some margin there in your notes to write these in, you certainly can. But the first one is this: forgiveness is instant, but trust is rebuilt. It's instant, but trust is rebuilt. In other words, when you forgive someone, it doesn't mean that trust is immediately restored. Forgiveness simply, here's what it does. It opens up the door to rebuilding trust, which is going to be ultimately very, very critical if you're ever going to have healthy relationships and friendships in your life. Maybe you've heard the term, Rome wasn't built in a day. How many have ever heard that term? Well, trust isn't built in a day. And I think, again, it's having a right understanding of what forgiveness is, what it's not. Here's the second thing I want to give you this morning, and that is forgiveness is not saying what someone did is okay. I think somebody needs to hear that this morning, because a lot of times we try to translate forgiveness as giving permission to whatever happened to me, that was okay. And the truth is, sir, ma'am, it's not. And however that affected you and however that hurt you, it was wrong. And so it's not okay that they hurt you, but forgiveness, what it does, I believe, is the fastest route for you to be healed. And when you release their actions, all right, in forgiveness, you're not approving what they did. You are stopping, listen to me, those actions from hurting you and affecting you again in the future. So important, so important. And then something I really wanted to get across this morning and help us, because again, I think when we've heard forgiveness, maybe we've heard it taught differently, whatever. So I wanna, this last one I think is just real important to set us up for the rest of this message here this morning. And that is this: forgiveness is not healing, but it paves the way for healing. All right, and so in other words, when you hold on to unforgiveness, there's what I would just kind of call an invisible chain that connects you to the person who hurts you. And every time, and I can speak for this because it's happened in my own life, every time the offense replays in your mind, they hurt you all over again. And here's the key, though. When you forgive them, the chain is cut. It's release. That's one of the Greek words for the word forgive, is actually the word released. And then God is able to come and to heal your past pain because you've allowed this to be turned over to Him completely. And so important. I remember a time, Bethany and I, many years ago in ministry, way before we ever moved here to Fort Wayne, we were faced with a very, very critical, tough situation that may just smacked us in the face. We had someone, man, that just wounded us by their words and did some things to us. And man, it affected me. It hurt me. It hurt Bethany. And I remember trying to deal with this on my own. And I became, honestly, just really miserable. And I was weeks and weeks, maybe even a few months into it. And Beth and I just both trying to act like it's not there, trying to just kind of push past it. When it was very hard for me to still be around that person. And I thought, man, this is not, and I knew it wasn't the heart of God. But I think sometimes we do that, don't we? I think sometimes we just, instead of just dealing with it, we just try to act like it's not there. But the reality is, it's there. And I think this morning what God's trying to get our attention, and the reason why you asked for this message, is because some of us find ourselves in this place needing God's healing, needing God's freedom and His help this morning on this subject. And so just sharing very personal from my heart. So I remember I was in prayer and the Holy Spirit convicted me and the Lord began to talk to me. And he said, hey, Kyle, listen to me. Very clearly, he said, if you don't forgive them, I can't forgive you. That's a scripture, gang. And Matthew 6. And I thought, it just broke me. I thought, man, how dare I hold on to this? And so, and then as I began to pray some more, and the Lord just said, this is detrimental for your future. You cannot afford to take this with you. You can't. It'll destroy you. It'll take you out. And so I just had to make a decision to begin to move along in the process, because I think sometimes when we hear messages on forgiveness, we think it's a quick thing. I think it can be a quick thing, but then I think it's a journey sometimes too. All right. And so I knew that Bethany and I were going to have to make a conscious decision that we're not going to stay where we're at, but we're going to allow the process of forgiveness to release that person and so that healing can come in. And so I remember Bethany and I just began to pray together. I felt like it was almost daily. It was pretty close for a while, where we would just do kind of a checkup on each other's heart as we begin to forgive and ask God's healing to come into our heart. Because, man, I'm telling you, unforgiveness and bitterness is an ugly spirit that would love to keep you enslaved and hold you back from the potential of your future. And it has. And it affects people all the time. But I believe God's people is hungry. And the reason why you've asked for this message is because there's something, listen to me, inside of your heart, inside of your spirit, that says, I'm not going to stay where I'm at. I'm desperate to move from where I'm at to where God wants me to be. And so I think something inside of you has said, I can't stay here. I've got to allow the process and the healing of God and learn how to release that in the mighty name of Jesus. And so that's my prayer this morning. And so Bethany and I did that. And can I tell you something, man? God did something inside of us because we were intentional with our prayers together. We talked about it together and we just refused for this to hold us back. And man, I'm telling you what, it was not only awesome to see God work, but then, man, just be able to release that forgiveness and healing and still be around the person and like them, all right? And I think that's the thing that we understand about God is and what I want to get in your spirit today is understanding the power of his forgiveness and what that looks like in your life. Faith is going to be essential. Everybody shout faith. Because faith is something that you take a step into something that really just doesn't make sense. And so here's the deal. You can't live this life without faith. You can't live this life without God. You cannot forgive without his presence. You're going to need him every step of the way. And so I think there's a miracle that could be waiting of breakthrough in your life. It's going to take faith. It's going to take us being a little bit intentional about this and making some decisions here this morning. But I think there's a list of progression I want to give you. And in this, in your notes, I have it down that you may find yourself at one of these places. And all I'm saying this morning is let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Hear his voice in your life this morning for what he wants to do. The first place that happens when we are dealing with unforgiveness or even bitterness towards somebody, there's distance that begins to come in. And that ultimately can happen because of a conflict or even neglect in relationships. Let me kind of spin it this way too and just say this, that if you don't put your life into relationships though, distance ultimately will occur. And so relationships, one thing I've learned is they just don't maintain themselves. It takes work, everybody, right? And so just like in a marriage, how many know it wouldn't be real good if I didn't talk to Bethany for 6 months? Yeah, that wouldn't be a healthy marriage, right? And so it takes work, takes us talking, takes us communicating. And so, but for whatever reason, maybe you've seen distance in relationships. You know, I remember a story, Pastor Rick Bizette, he was a part of our At the Movies series. He told this to us a few years ago. Crack me up. And he said he was driving down the highway there in Arkansas, and he's on a 3-4-lane highway. And I think it was 4, and he was in the far right lane. He said, man, I'm minding my own business. And he said, I'm driving. And he said, get this guy that just is tailing me, just driving real close to me. And he's saying, and Pastor Rick said, man, I'm thinking, bro, there's like 3 other lanes, like go, you know? Because I know y'all don't know nothing about no road rage in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Come on, somebody. Coliseum, Interstate 69. I mean, y'all don't know what I'm talking about, do you? And so I think we've all been a little tested on the road. Some of y'all just tested this on the way in this morning. It was one of your church members here at church, all right? And so be nice. And so, but as they're driving, he said, finally, he gets in the other lane. And then you know what happens, because it's probably happened to you, where you have a decision to make. Are you going to have that awkward moment where you look over? And then is it going to be a gesture or something you say? Or are you just going to keep on driving? He said, well, Pastor Rick said, for me, I was going to look. I was irritated. I was mad. He said, he pulled up. He said, I looked at him and he looked at me and he looked back at me and gave me the bird, man. Told me I was number one. He said, man, I was mad. He said, but I did a double take, and so did he, when I realized he's one of the members of my church. Yeah, and he said, immediately the guy's eyes were huge. He said he slowed down and went right behind Pastor Rick the rest of the way. How many know he had a decision to make? There could have been distance in the relationship, had a decision to make. Some of us, we've got that, and we need to, come on, be mindful about where we're at, what is happening. Amen. God bless the ones who give us the bird. All right, anyways, here's the second thing of progression. It happens. Is walls. Excuse me. Walls, and here's what I know, that this happens to many of us, that when we're hurt and we're wounded, it's so easy to put up walls. Part of the purpose and why we put up walls is because we don't want to be hurt again. So we think that the best solution is, I'm going to keep the people and the person out that hurt me. But here's the problem with that, is then what we also do by creating walls is we keep the good people out of our lives, the ones that maybe God's trying to use to reach you. And then here's the other side I know of it from the journey, because I've learned this as well, is those walls can keep God out too. And so we got to be very careful, because we think that's a right solution, and it's not. And here's the other progression of it, is then it goes into a place of escalation. The situation ultimately becomes bigger than the situation. I've just had the great honor in counseling people along the journey, and what I've learned is, in moments of escalation, it's really not a big deal. The issue's really kind of this small, but because of escalation, it's become this giant problem. And part of the issue that I think presents itself in situations in the area of escalation is that our words go into a place that is just simply out of control. James 3 talks about who can tame the tongue. Proverbs 18 talks about death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what we start doing is we use words that can be very hurtful and start belittling people, talking down about people. You know, maybe you're at the place right now, maybe it's someone on the job, maybe it's a neighbor, I don't know, whatever it is that you're facing this morning and you've encountered that. I'm just encouraging you, church, let's always be a people that guards our words. It's just a healthy conviction I've always asked the Lord to, because out of it springs forth life or death. I don't know about you, but I want to err on the side of being known for speaking life. Amen, everybody? And be life-giving. Well, I think that's one of the easiest, but one of the hardest ways that you and I can learn to be a person that's life-giving is just simply by the words that we speak. And so escalation happens, and then we find ourselves in the next place, and this is where the enemy wreaks havoc at, and that's creating a false belief. So the enemy comes in, and then we start imagining things that really just aren't true. We start assuming, things about that person or persons that just isn't true. And what starts happening is then, if we're not careful, then we can start inviting voices in our life and people that aren't even supposed to be involved in the situation. Now we've asked for their opinion, and now they are creating their own ideas about that person. Let me tell you something. Let me just help us with this. I think it's real important. I've found this in the journey in just ministry as well. Sometimes second, third, fourth hand offense can be worse than the person who was initially offended. And so we've got to be real careful about our words. And I've seen it, you know, especially working in corporate America. I saw it so much in the workplace. It drove me bananas. That drove me crazy. So part of it is you and I making the decision that, man, I'm not going there. I'm not listening to that. You know, and you've got to make a decision of what you're going to listen to or not listen to. That's on you. But I encourage you, be a person, come on, that guards your heart and filters that stuff out of your life and speak life in Jesus' name. And here's the other thing I know. John chapter 7 talks about Satan, that he is the father of lies. Lying is his native language. It's why you can't believe everything that you hear. It's why you can't believe everything that you read. Amen, everybody? And so, and here's what I realize, And here's what I even learned in that situation when Bethany and I walked through that, is when you're hurting, the last person you ought to be listening to is you. Listen, you can't trust you when you're hurt. And you got to be careful when you're hurt, because hurting people hurt people. So you have to be very mindful, very, very careful, because your vision is clouded. You're not thinking and you're not seeing clearly. You cannot trust your emotions. You cannot trust you when you are offended. And here's the last part of this progression, and that's hostility. Man, that is when it can get crazy, crazy. Like, I know every one of us has that one crazy person in our family, right? Come on, some of y'all laughing because you know it. If you don't know who it is, it might be you. I don't know. So nonetheless, I'm just messing. Relax, all right? But here's, you know, I think the thing that breaks my heart is, and I've heard this, you know, over the years, that sometimes, usually the hardest time for people is during the holidays because of hostility in families. And man, it breaks my heart for people, and I know it breaks the heart of God. But hostility, listen, it's not the condition between you and that person. Hostility happens because it's the condition of your soul. Things are chaotic. They're out of control. And so I want to read this verse of scripture here in Ephesians chapter 2. I just want you to remember that you asked for this today, all right? And so everybody say, remember. 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 And part of my job is to help you remember things that sometimes we may forget. So remember that at the time that you were separate from Christ, without hope, without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. So here's the cool thing about your God, that he initiated a process. And that process where he died to the sins of this world, took it completely upon himself, died and then rose again from the dead because of something that we did. And he canceled it. I'm going to talk to you more about that in a second, what that looks like. And it says that he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed, look at this, the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 4 says it this way, beginning in verse 31, to get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as. You may want to underline it, because the power of this verse is actually found in the just as. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. So if we really want to understand God's forgiveness, and see change in our life, then we've got to embrace this life, the forgiveness that he has so freely released to you and I. And I want to show you, I just think, a few practical things that I hope and pray that will help bring some peace to your life. Because, man, if you allow God's process and his word, man, you can love again. You can release forgiveness again, and you can be healed again and have the capacity to love people. And that is, I want to give you a few things. All right, so I got 3 points. I want you to hear me. Two of them you're going to hate. Now, you're just not going to like it. I'm just telling you. So I'm just trying to prepare you. All right, but I love you, and I want to see us go further and further with the Lord. And so, but here's the important part. You've got to filter this and what you're hearing and seeing the scripture today through his word, and not just by what I'm saying. We've got to move in faith. So here's the first one. Number one, you got to receive God's love and forgiveness. Maybe you say, oh, that's not bad. That's the easy one, all right? But this is the easiest one I think we forget. And as Christians, I think we sometimes struggle understanding really what that means for our life, because religion has tried to teach us otherwise. And so let me just kind of prove it to you. It's like, you know, we've come in maybe from a week that maybe we've not made good decisions or choices. And this is what happens a lot of times, is we'll kind of come into church and we think God is mad at us because of, man, what we just did this week or whatever happened. And so we just kind of come into church with our tail between our legs, and we just kind of lay off the worship. Worship, man, we're worshiping God, but man, you feel like I'm not worthy of it. And so we get this wrong idea about God, that I'm just not worthy to kind of go full force today. And we've got this view that it's like we think God is keeping score with us, and he's not. And it is so inconsistent with Scripture. You need to know this morning, that God knew what you did and what you're going to do and still chooses to forgive you and I for our past, present, and our future. And so when we've had a week that we stunk it up, okay, we stunk it up, but we got to keep moving forward, baby. Doesn't matter what happened last night. You know what God's focused on is right here in this moment in your heart, because he's a God that makes all things new. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's the God that you serve, everybody, and you ought to be real happy about that, that he's not looking at your yesterday. He's looking with you right in front of you today and moving forward. Aren't you thankful for a God that loves you that way? Amen, everybody? And so we need to have a right view of God, because I think the thing about the enemy, what he's so good at trying to do with us is constantly reminding you and I about our mess ups. But I'm so thankful about how great our God is, that he's constantly reminding you about his love, his forgiveness, and his future that he has together with you. I am thankful for that. Amen? And so here's the thing I know. I know this, that you'll never have to forgive anybody more than God has already forgiven you. I'm telling you, that is a fact. I'm going to say it again, because that's a good preaching right there. You'll never have to forgive anybody more than God has forgiven you. 1 Timothy 1 says, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, this is talking about Paul, because Paul was, he was in charge of the assassination group that would kill Christians. He said, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said, of who I am the worst. And you know, I love this about the Bible, because God intentionally used people with the worst history possible to prove his extraordinary love for you and for me. That's why I can relate, you can relate to the scripture. So how dare we hold on to things when we realize the enormity of the power of God's love and his forgiveness for our lives? Isaiah 1 says it this way, verse 18, come now, let's settle this. Everybody say, let's settle this. Say it like you're believing now, church. Come on, let's settle this. There we go. Let's settle it right here. Says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet. God's saying, I'm not asking you to earn anything. Stop trying to earn it. Just receive his forgiveness. It's done. Quit trying to earn it. It's done. He said, I will make them as white as snow, though they are red like crimson. I make them as white as wool if you will only obey me. And I really believe the reason why we struggle with releasing forgiveness with people is because we haven't really fully understood God's forgiveness for us. But I pray that you get this in your heart today. And listen, if you live your life trying to earn God's forgiveness, you will in turn try to make people earn your forgiveness. And man, that's not okay. All right, number two, jot this down. The forgiven forgive. Man, I think that ought to be on a t-shirt. Like, that's like a motto, man. The forgiven forgive. A woman by the name of Anne Lamott made this statement. She's quoted it. It says this. She said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Man, I'm telling you, unforgiveness, bitterness, has the potential to corrode your heart and to keep you away from God's destiny for your life. My prayer for you, I've been praying for you all this week, and that God would initiate a process today in your heart of you allowing him to really help you with whatever it is, because I know many of you asked to hear on this message today that something would begin today, that we would make the decision to begin to release forgiveness so that healing can come in. Because Jesus said it this way in Matthew 10. He said, freely you have received, so freely you got to give. God is saying this to his church, I didn't make you earn it. So stop trying to make other people earn it. I know, and we just need to kind of take that in. Stop trying to, so freely, Jesus said, you've received, I want you to freely give. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't ask you and I to apologize first before he went to the cross? Man, I thought about that statement all week. I just thought, Lord, thank you for your incredible love May we as your people love and freely give it just like you do to us. We don't have the right to withhold it. We've got to release it. We've got to let this go. The forgiven, forgive. 2 Corinthians 5, got a few verses here beginning in verse 14. I want to read to you. Man, and read this. I pray this scripture gets in you today. For Christ's love, it compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves. So in other words, Jesus died for your best interest. So you die to yourself and for his best interest. But for him who died for them and was raised again, all this is from God who reconciled us. Reconciled, just bringing the account to zero. Jesus took the balance that we owe and made it a zero. You and I had a debt because of our sins that was worthy of capital punishment. But thanks be to God for sending his son Jesus that wiped the slate clean, canceled the debt and the account, and brought it to zero. Man. To himself through Christ and gave us, look at this church, the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus is saying, so now here's what I want you to do, church. I want you to go and treat people just like I've treated you. That's what I want you to do. That's what he's saying to us. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. You know, I believe forgiveness is not just a reflection of what you say in your heart, but I think it's a reflection of how you treat that person thereafter. Yeah, and when their name comes up, man, how you doing with that? Forgiveness, healing. You can be healed. Yeah, let God do it. And so it's also saying this, that I'm going to take that which I think you owe me because you hurt me. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what Jesus did. I'm going to make it a zero, just like Christ did for me. And we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. So powerful message right there in itself, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And here's the last thing. Here's the last thing. And that's number three is this, and that's go first. Go first. Sir, ma'am, listen to me real closely on this. You have to die to the right to always feel like you have to be right. And you got to allow God to be God. And you have to, if you're really going to move beyond where you're at, you've got to trust, listen to me, trust not man, trust the word and the power of the Holy Spirit that can change a situation, that can help bring healing and change to your heart. It can happen. I know many of us have faced different things in our life and everybody's journey looks different, but I'm encouraging you, if you find yourself in a place, let God move today. Before you leave this place, begin it. Come on, get serious with God and begin it today. Here's what I know. You may want to jot this down. Forgiving someone won't change the past, but it can change your future. I'm going to say it again. Forgiving that person, persons, whatever, I know it won't change the past, but it can change your future. Come on, don't allow yourself to continue to be where you're at. Jesus went first. The Bible says in Romans 5:8 right here that he demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, still messed up, jacked up, he still died for you and me. Aren't you glad that he didn't ask for an apology first? He went first. How incredible is the God that we serve, who took upon the debt that we owed and paid it. James 3 says this, but the wisdom that comes from heaven, notice the wisdom of heaven, all right? It's in contrast to the wisdom of this world, because the wisdom of this world stinks. It's not working. We know that. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving. I love this. Considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace, bringing the balance to zero, raise a harvest of righteousness. So here's what I'd say. The love of God and the love that Jesus has given to us leaves us with no other option. And I'm just telling you, man, God's not asking you and I this morning to feel this. He's asking us to do this. Freely you have received, freely give. And I'm believing today that God is going to start something on the inside of us, because I know you asked for this. I know you're asking God to help. And so today, I'm believing God begins this process of forgiveness and healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Because I'm telling you, the enemy ain't going to win. Come on. God has got a plan for your life. We don't have time to stay where we're at. We got to press forward and move on to what God has for us. So this is our prayer. Would you stand to your feet? I just want you to close your eyes right where you're at. Because I know every one of us are in different places. I do realize, and I'm serious when I say this, I realize and I do believe this may be one of the most important things maybe I'll ever teach on. Because I realize and the level of importance that if we don't do this and we don't allow God to help us in this, man, it'll sabotage our future. Man, God loves you too much to allow you to stay where you're at. So there's messages that come like this, not even necessarily for correction as it is an encouragement to move on into God's freedom and what he has waiting for you. And that's how you need to receive it. So Father, all over this room right now, I thank you for your presence. God, I thank you that you're in this place. Lord, I thank you today for the ministry of reconciliation. Lord, no matter what that person or what happened in that situation was, we choose to bring the account to zero. And so Holy Spirit, here's what we know is we can't do this on our own. That we need you. We need you. So help us right now in this moment to release that person, persons, that situation. We choose to release forgiveness because freely we have received, and Lord, freely we must give. God, I thank you this morning for your healing. Lord, I know for some of us, we're making decisions today to move towards healing. So here's what I want you to do, church, just with your eyes closed. If you're comfortable with this, join me. If not, it is totally cool. You just relax. But just to lift your hands right there as a sign of surrender to God. Come on, just right there where you're at. And let's just take a moment right here, right here, right here. It's just something God just put on my heart for us in this service, that we just take a moment in this service today. I know we got multiple services. I know I'm crunched a little bit for time, but I think this moment is so important for many of us in this room today, because God is beginning something. God is doing something today. There's change coming in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we're just declaring from our hearts, we're not going to stay here. We're going to move on into the freedom that you have for our life. And so Holy Spirit, move in this place. Move in our hearts. Move in our lives. We give you permission today to be Lord and Savior and our King in our life. So, Father, I speak blessing upon your people. God, we're desperate for you. We don't want to stay where we're at. We want more of Jesus and more of you in our life, oh God. It's not worth hanging on to. So thank you, God, this morning for what you've begun. And let it move. Let it not be a Sunday morning service deal, but let it be a process now within our heart that's been initiated, that now we engage with you. So we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, you can put your hands down. Just remain just right there with your head bowed, eyes closed just for this moment. Listen, if you're here today, you heard me talk on the love of God and his forgiveness. You don't have to earn it. It's free. Free. But before you can really release people and you can release forgiveness, you've got to receive that forgiveness first for your life. And I'm just asking you to be real honest. In a moment, we're going to pray as a church. But if you realize, man, I'm here and I need to receive that forgiveness for my life. I need that relationship with the Lord, and I'm desperate for it today. And I want it. And I want to be changed. I want to experience that healing. Come on, all over this room with every head bowed. If that's you, I just want you to slip up your hand right where you're at and say, man, that's me. I know that's me. Real high, real high. Awesome, awesome. Yeah. Thank you, thank you. Proud of you. Yeah. Got you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Awesome. Got you. Come on, just pray with me, church. It's something like this. I said, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you all that I am. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Cleansing away my past. Thank you for bringing my account to zero. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Come on, can we give Jesus, just a praise this morning? Can we do that, everybody?